Piper's new president is out after just 5 months. A proposed AD would affect 42,000 GA aircraft. And NASA reaches out to minorities. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, November 4th, 2009. ANN has learned that a highly respected member of the Piper leadership team is heading out to pursue new challenges. An internal Piper memo sent out Monday said in part, quote, Piper's president, John Becker, announced today he will be leaving the company December 1st to pursue other career opportunities. John first joined Piper over 20 years ago and was responsible for overseeing many projects critical to the success of the company, including the Meridian and Piperjet programs. We would like to express our deep appreciation to John for his many years of faithful service to the people of Piper and wish him all the best in the future, unquote. Becker only became president of Piper in June this year, as former president and CEO Jim Bass exited in an executive realignment following the sale of the company by American Capital Limited to Imprimis. Becker had been with Piper since 1989 and held various positions of increasing responsibility over those two decades. Becker is an instrument-rated commercial pilot with broad qualifications for whatever comes next, ranging from an MBA to an ANP. We wish him the best and we'll tell you more when we can. The FAA has proposed an airworthiness directive that could affect almost 42,000 Piper Cherokee, Cherokee 6, Seneca, and Seminole airplanes, and would require the inspection and, if needed, repair of a control wheel shaft, which could be incorrectly assembled. The FAA says the problem, if left uncorrected, could lead to separation of the control wheel shaft, resulting in loss of pitch and roll control. The FAA has received two reports of control wheel shafts that have been incorrectly assembled at Piper. The first incident involved the loss of the control wheel on a Piper model PA-34-220T, where the right control wheel shaft and universal joint separated due to a misdrilled hole for the threaded taper pin. The second report came after a ground inspection of the same model that revealed a similar situation on the left side. Since discovery of the problem, Piper has added a step to the manufacturing process and introduced a fixture to ensure proper assembly of the joint. The FAA estimates the cost of the inspection at about $40 per airplane and a repair just over $1,400 if needed. Comments on the NPRM are due by December 29th. NASA has awarded education grants to five institutions serving minorities to develop innovative projects in support of higher education teaching and learning in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, or STEM, if you speak acronymese. The project is designed to enhance students' academic experiences and encourage underserved and underrepresented groups to pursue STEM careers, which are critical to NASA's missions. Grants were awarded to Navajo Technical College in Crown Point, New Mexico, Florida Ag and Mechanical University in Tallahassee, New Mexico State in Las Cruces, North Carolina Ag and Tech in Greensboro, and Sistema Universitario Ana G. Mendez in Caguas, Puerto Rico. The five projects will receive funding ranging from about $91,000 to $346,000. The grants are eligible for renewal for 2 years based on project performance and funding availability. Up next on ANN, the AOPA invasion is underway in Tampa. It's Mooney's AOPA blowout and everything must go. And a new STC will bring Wi-Fi to five vintage BizJet models. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 4th. I'm Paul Plack. The Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association is ready to start processing attendees for tomorrow's start of AOPA Summit in Tampa, Florida. Spokesman Chris Dancy told Tampa Bay Online, quote, "We traditionally plan for 2,000 aircraft. Realistically, and assuming good weather, we think 1,000 aircraft on the ground at any one time, probably split evenly between Peter O. Knight and Tampa Executive Airports, would be the highest likely," unquote. AOPA also expects up to 10,000 members in attendance. Attractions include the 1937 Lockheed Electra used in the movie Amelia and a Friday night performance by guitarist and producer John Oates of 80s super duo Hall & Oates. There will, of course, be news made inside the exhibit area, and ANN will be there to bring it to you. Mooney Airplane Company says it has some special deals to make on inventory aircraft for AOPA Summit. Buyers can choose from limited-time options to create a custom package to suit their preferences and maximize their tax benefits. Incentives include 2.99% financing for the first 48 months of financing based on qualification and a leaseback deal that lets you take maximum advantage of bonus depreciation. This flexible option also allows consumers to use the airplane as a productive part of their business while leaving the routine maintenance to Mooney. Mooney Director of Sales Wayne Fisher boasts, quote, "This is an unprecedented opportunity to own the best," unquote. Mooney will have two acclaimed Type S aircraft on display at Peter O. Knight Airport this week. Constant Aviation at Cleveland Hopkins International Airport said Monday it has begun the STC process to allow installation of the AirCell high-speed internet system on five aircraft types: the Embraer Legacy, Gulfstream 4, Citation 10, BeachJet, and Piaggio Avanti. Stephen Maiden, president of Constant Aviation, says demand for the system is hot. Quote, "We have continued to see growing desire from aircraft owners to be able to access a full-scale internet connection during their flights," unquote. Together, the AirCell Access Cabin Communication System and ATG 4000 high-speed internet unit provide worldwide Iridium voice telephone service and broadband data in the continental U.S. at an installed weight of just 11 pounds. The CEOs of the various airlines that make up the Star Alliance last week welcomed Continental Airlines as a new member, the 25th in the marketing cooperative. The alliance seeks global reach, worldwide recognition, and seamless travel among its members. Alliance CEO John Albrecht commented, quote, "This is the first time an airline has moved directly from one alliance to another, and I would like to thank all those involved," unquote. Continental CEO Larry Kellner explained, quote, "Since making the strategic decision 16 months ago to join Star Alliance, Continental has been intensely focused on making preparations for this change. For our customers, the change will be seamless and will deliver significantly improved travel opportunities," unquote. Continental's move from the SkyTeam Alliance to Star involved much more than just shuffling papers. The airline has been training employees, adapting policies and programs to be consistent with Star, and physically moved its operations at 11 airports. Still ahead, there are two new master instructors. Hang on to something. No, not that something. And may you live long enough to have Willard Scott call your name. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, November 4th. I'm Paul Plack. Master Instructors LLC reports three new master accreditations and five renewals during October. Sandy and Joanne Hill liken this achievement to a black belt in aviation. Fewer than 700 of the nation's 93,000 CFIs have earned the master distinction. The new masters include Peter F. King of Bend, Oregon, an FAA safety team rep and specialist in instrument, technically advanced, and glass cockpit training. Andrew T. Smith recently earned his Master Aviation Educator accreditation. He's an assistant professor and program lead for K-State University's Part 147 Aviation Maintenance Training Curriculum and a designated mechanic examiner for the FAA's Wichita FISDO. And Bill Otway, a seven-time Master CFI, was recently granted Master Instructor Emeritus status in recognition of his many years of commitment to excellence. He retired as the chief CFI with Wright Flyers Aviation, a Part 141 Cessna Pilot Center at San Antonio International Airport. London's Daily Telegraph reports that on a recent demo ride with South Africa's Silver Falcons display team, a civilian passenger apparently reached out to grab something to steady himself after an aerobatic move. It was a yellow and black handle he'd been warned not to touch during the pre-flight briefing. It was the ejection seat actuator. The rocket-powered seat blew him through the canopy and almost 300 feet above the PC-7. Fortunately, the chute worked too, and he was recovered safely near Langebaanweg Airfield, 80 miles north of Cape Town. South African officials even sent a helicopter to pick him up, so he had the chance to fly on two military aircraft for the price of one. But it was probably that third ride, that really short one in the middle, that will be the most memorable. And finally today, if all goes as planned this morning, Evelyn Bryan Mama Bird Johnson will have her day started with a greeting from NBC weatherman Willard Scott. That's what happens when you turn 100 years old. Mama Bird, a CFI who's in the Tennessee Aviation Hall of Fame, has logged well over 57,000 hours, making her both the highest time female pilot ever and the highest time living pilot on record. As a designated pilot examiner, she administered over 9,000 check rides, and her long career in aviation is not over. While glaucoma has cost her medical, she still manages the Moore Mural Airport in Morristown, Tennessee, where a new terminal building now under construction will be named after her. Of aviation, Mama Bird told AOPA, quote, "I used to say that on my birthday, Willard Scott would tell me happy birthday, but I wouldn't hear him because I'd be up flying. I've enjoyed that for 56 years and still do every day. I enjoy everything about aviation and flying," unquote. Evelyn Bryan Mama Bird Johnson, we at ANN salute you and your magnificent career. But I have two questions. Is she still eligible to be a 99? And who will wish Willard Scott a happy birthday if he makes it to 100? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I get to ask aerial photographer James Cavanaugh all about his profession. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.